Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Keeker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Keeker, your Senior Care Consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in. We have a great program for you here today, and this is really, really excellent information. We have special guests in studio, Karen Honholt, and she is the Chief Development and Communications Officer with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, and Dr. Iman Williams-Christians, Director of Grief Programs at, again, Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And Karen and Dr. Iman, welcome to Senior Care Live.
Happy to be here.
Thank you very much.
All right. So, Dr. Iman, you're here today to talk with us about some resources for people who are grieving the loss of a loved one. And can you start off by telling the audience what grief is and what some common responses are to the grief?
Thank you so much. Grief is the natural reaction to loss. It is unique to everyone, meaning it doesn't look different. It doesn't look the same for every single person. And so there are a variety of reactions that you might typically see. Some of the emotions you might experience are sadness and anger. And for some people, guilt. And for others, it might be peace. They were anticipating the loss, and they were able to say their goodbyes. So you might experience some of those things or all of those things. And we try very hard at Kansas City Hospice to normalize all of those reactions.
I've seen all of the above.
If
you've been on the earth for as long as I have, you've dealt with a lot of things, and one of the things that sometimes grief comes along with a non-death kind of a loss. So here's a really weird one. You're like, oh, this is probably more than I want to know. But my wife was pregnant with triplets, and they told us we had two boys and one girl. And so they had to put my wife out for the birth. And we ended up having three boys.
Oh my goodness.
Much to our surprise. So we had two sets of blue clothes for the babies and one set of pink. We had one pink blanket for our daughter, but we had three boys. So I felt this was a major, like just a mental weird thing. I felt loss.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had that daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So
it
was bizarre. I celebrated the birth of our boys, but I felt loss for a while. It was very bizarre. So it doesn't have to be an actual death to feel grief.
Right, exactly. And so at Kansas City Hospice, we talk about grief and work with grief for both person losses and also non-death losses. So exactly what you're talking about, it could be finding out that a child is not the gender you were told, or it could be the loss of a job, or it could be the loss of a relationship. Through our programs, we talk about all of it. So grief doesn't have to be a person loss, for sure. So that's a really great point that you've brought up.
Yeah, and we fell in love with this daughter. We had her named, the whole thing. And then she wasn't there. It's pretty weird.
Uh-huh.
and I've lost a job. Uh-huh. And I have felt grief of losing a job and moving away from those friendships that I had built at that company, that kind of thing. So that those are all really, really good points. So what are some things that people should watch for if they think they or someone they care about needs help coping with their grief?
Some of the things to look out for are maybe a friend or family member is struggling to get out of bed. They are not engaging in the activities that they would typically engage in, whether it is getting up every morning, or it's taking care of their children, or if it's going to work every day. And some of this is to be expected in those first few weeks of grief, but we find ways to cope and to move forward. If you're not seeing those things after a while, that might be a time to seek help, to seek counseling. And of course, if someone mentions suicidal thoughts of harming themselves, that would be a time to reach out for help. The National Suicide Line has actually changed their number to make it simpler to reach out for help, which is wonderful. So that number has changed to 988. That's all you dial, or you can text that number, and there will be someone on the other end who can help you in that situation.
All right, so you just dial 988, and that takes you straight, so you don't have to deal with the 1-800 number.
No, not anymore. Yeah, it changed as of August 1st.
Okay. How often do you see someone who is so down because of the grief that they actually think about ending it all? I mean, is that very common, or is that just more of an extreme situation?
That's an extreme situation. That's not typically what we see. We always talk about grief is a natural response to loss, and usually there's no intervention that needs to happen. For some, there are people who want to talk about their loved one. They don't have the social support to be able to do that, and so they reach out for counseling. But I would say when someone's having suicidal thoughts, that's atypical, there is help out there for them.
And I really appreciate you talking about 988. That's just so simple. So
yes.
I'm gonna remember that. That makes it very easy. You know, we talk a lot on this show about healthcare options for people who are aging and managing a chronic illness or facing a serious or life-threatening health condition at Kansas City Hospice. And in addition to being a hospice and palliative care provider, KC Hospice offers an array of grief support services. Can you share more about what services are available for someone experiencing grief or a non-death loss?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So if they are working through a non-death loss, then that would be through our Passages program, which is under the umbrella of Solace House. And Solace House offers both groups and individual sessions. But our Passages program is staffed with licensed social workers who most of them are trained in EMDR, or some kind of trauma therapy. They work with both adults and children, and they do a wonderful job.
See, and I just love that KC Hospice has a program. I hate that it's needed, Mm-hmm. But I love that Casey Hospice can serve the pediatric patients and family members because they just, how can you process that when you're this little 5 or 6 year old kid? That has to be just about impossible.
Yeah, it's very difficult because we don't talk about death and dying in our society. And so a lot of us feel unprepared to have those conversations, especially with kiddos. And what I always say is it's better to give the full picture in appropriate terms, but to be very honest about what's happening in that situation. I just talked about Solace House, but we also have our grief support that is a benefit of Medicare. So you can get 13 months of grief support at no cost with that Medicare benefit. And we stay with the person, the family members for those 13 months, and they can get the support they need either through groups or individual sessions. So that's how our grief support works. And then Solace House is typically families and children that we work with.
Okay, so 13 months, I mean, it sounds like a long time, and obviously you could grieve for longer than that, but that's a tremendous amount of support.
Yes, we are very proud that we were able to offer that that we are able to follow people for that long. In our society, it's thought that, you know, after 6 weeks, you know, you dust yourself off and get back to work, get on with things. But we know that grief does not act that way. We're not able to shove it in a closet and not think about it. It is with us for life. And over those 13 months, we're building coping skills and building tools to be able to manage it and hopefully connect people to other grievers who know what they're going through and to help them come through that.
Well, and there's something about being around other people with that shared experience, because mm-hmm. You can kind of lean on each other and help you get through one of the most difficult times of your life. So that is excellent. For more information about Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care and all of the wonderful programs that they offer, just reach out to them at 816-363-2600 or online at kchospice.org. Now the Senior Care Live question of the week, and this is a true or false. Grief refers to emotions experienced after a loved one dies. Is that statement true or false? What's your answer?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to SeniorCareLive.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Grief refers to emotions experienced after a loved one dies. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is false. The answer is false. And Dr. Iman, why is that statement false?
While grief is experienced after a person dies, it is also experienced for other losses in life, including those not related to death. While there are emotional symptoms, grief affects all aspects of your life, including cognition, behavior, social interactions, spiritual beliefs, and physical health.
All of the above. And I'll tell you, I've seen grief. Well, my dad, unfortunately, had a terminal diagnosis of about 6 months with his particular type of cancer. It has a physical manifestation as well. And I'm not even kidding. I saw my hairline recede probably an inch. I had physical reaction to this deep grief and the stress of it all and everything. So it'll just wipe you out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It'll just take you out. All right. So today we're speaking with Karen Honholt and Dr. Iman, both from Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And Dr. Iman, before the break, we discussed a lot of great information about what grief is and when to seek help and how to identify when someone else might need help. You described a lot of great resources. So were you able to continue those services during the pandemic? Because, you know, everything changed. Right. And then as kind of a follow up question, you know, how are they currently being provided?
Yeah, I mean, the pandemic definitely was a challenge, as it was for everyone. But we really rallied and we were able to offer all of our grief services via telehealth. And it was well received, to some of our surprise. We continue to offer some of our groups via telehealth. And some people prefer it. One of the great things about offering virtual groups or virtual services is that we are able to reach those who maybe live a little further out of our service area, and they might have said no to grief services had that not that option not been available. So as we are coming back in person and doing in-person groups and in-person sessions, we also have kept the virtual option open.
So you're doing both?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. So can you tell me about something that we've talked about on the program in the past? And what is a grief camp? And what does it look like normally? And then how did it look this year?
So a grief camp is a time for kids and families to get together. They have what they all share is loss of a person in this case. And they are able to engage in typical grief activities such as swimming and horseback riding and roasting s'mores and all of those wonderful things, and focus on grief activities. So we do something special called the luminary, where we write the person's name on a bag with it, and we put a candle in it, and we're able to acknowledge that person that we've lost. In the last year, we've moved to day camps just because of COVID-19 reasons, and those have been really popular. Kids or families will come for a day, and we'll do all of those things. We'll just compress the time to do them. What we are doing September 16th through 18th, our camp carousel, is we're moving back to our overnight camps.
Okay.
So that is where we're going.
All right, and that's a breath of fresh air. I mean, we're not out of the woods yet, but we're about there, I think. And so just to have a return to normalcy, but still have the option of all of the virtual support is pretty incredible. So again, for our listeners, if you want more information about how to stay up to date with the grief support services offered by KC Hospice over the fall and the winter, just go to kchospice.org/camp, or you could call the camp director, Katie, at 913-341-0318. And Dr. Iman, thanks for talking with us today and sharing this helpful information about grief and how to support someone that you know is grieving a death or a loss in their lives. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve.
All right. And now, Karen Honholt, Chief Development and Communications Officer with KC Hospice. And Karen, in her description, Dr. Iman mentioned that KC Hospice grief support programming is available for families whose loved one was actually on your service at KC Hospice and on that hospice service as part of the Medicare hospice benefit, and that your community-wide grief support programming is available free of charge to anyone who's experienced a loss, but that would include others outside of your program. Is that right?
That's correct. And it's a great question. Actually, even for those who are on hospice service. Of course, that's part of their benefit through Medicare, but Kansas City Hospice actually serves as a large number of people who are not on Medicare for a variety of reasons. Either they're younger and not yet eligible. We have a lot of pediatric patients, for example, or just young families that are on service. And
how are those services funded? Because it's not tied to that Medicare benefit.
And so what we'll do is, you know, those services, and actually if you compare us to other hospices who are, you know, if you are Medicare certified, you're required to offer those grief benefits, but you certainly are not required to offer them to the extent that we do.
Yeah.
And if you look at Kansas City Hospice, we just offer, you know, we try to do it because it's the right thing to do, and we just go far above and beyond what you'll find at a lot of other programs. And we can do that with, you know, with support from our community. So it's our donors that support us. We have grant funding that helps. As you mentioned earlier, you know, the grief can take a lot out of you, and it can actually affect academic performance for kids or behavioral performance. And so we have a lot of grant funders who understand that and help to support those efforts, knowing what a difference it makes for those families.
That is amazing. And why do you think people choose to give to programs like these?
Well, you know, grief is a universal experience, and typically you don't understand much about it until you go through it, and then suddenly you understand all too well. And so a lot of our donors, they've been through it. They know what a difference a solid program like Kansas City Hospice offers, makes for the community, and they come back to support it.
All right. And if someone is listening today and they're interested in becoming a KC Hospice Solace House donor, what's that first step look like?
Well, they can call us at 816-363-2600, and they can make a donation over the phone or go to our website, and it's kchospice.org/donate. And there's a variety of options there that they can make a donation right online. They can also sign up to become a monthly donor because, you know, this need is ongoing, and we certainly appreciate that support.
Excellent. For our listeners, stay tuned because we're going to talk about a major upcoming event that I think you will want to attend.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right. So, Dr. Iman, we were visiting off mic on the break and talking about how, you know, Medicare requires certain things of, there's like a minimum threshold, a minimum level of service and support, et cetera, for hospice providers. But it's just a well-known fact that KC Hospice goes way above and beyond that. Can you give us some examples of that?
One of the ways we do that is by providing our expressive therapies. So, for example, we have a music therapist who goes around and provides a therapy through music, using her guitar, using her voice, or sometimes a patient will say, you know, I used to play the saxophone, and so she'll bring in that instrument, and they do really wonderful work together. So that's one example of one of the ways we go above and beyond. Other ways, we provide groups according to kind of what we're seeing in the community. So an example is our sorting through group that came about because several people indicated they were having trouble of letting go of items that belong to their loved ones. And they formed a group around that and bonded and were able to work through that. So that's an example of one of our groups. But we also have men's group. We have our Music Speaks group that our music therapist is doing, a Nurturing Your Grief in Nature, which is a walking in nature group, and then our spouse and partner loss groups.
And that's excellent. And these are not requirements. This is just one example of why, in my opinion, Kansas City Hospice is clearly at the top of the list of hospice and palliative care providers, because there are just a lot of extras that you provide voluntarily.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, we feel like our patients are worth it, the families are worth it, and so we want to go above and beyond every time to meet their needs.
And David Wiley, the president and CEO of KC Hospice, has been on the program, and I remember clearly discussing with him how creative you all, your whole organization had to be to deliver some of these extras to people when we were all kind of shut down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was a challenge, but we wanted to make sure that we delivered, and everybody rallied, and we were able to offer these groups virtually, which is wonderful, and really got great feedback, even with the children's groups through Solace House. Imagine a child sitting there with an iPad and trying to be engaged, but they absolutely were. We just had to change the programming a little bit, the curriculum a little bit, but they absolutely were engaged. And so we still offer virtual groups that way.
And I remember seeing KC Hospice putting up signs outside of assisted living communities and long-term care communities. I may have seen this on Facebook, your music therapist playing her guitar and singing outside of windows of some of these long-term care communities to residents inside, whatever it takes, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes,
so
whatever
that was pretty
it
cool.
Takes.
I thought that was great. So, Karen, we talk about fundraising, and KC Hospice is a nonprofit organization raising funds throughout the year, but we're coming up on that signature fundraising event of the year, and that's coming up here before we know it, here in about a month, called Sunday Night Live. So tell us all about that, and I would love to invite our listeners to attend or contribute. Let's just talk about that.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. So Sunday Night Live, we've been, I think this is our sixth year down at the Power and Light, the KC Live Block of Power and Light. We will be back in person this year, which
Yay.
We're very excited about. So we've had that event virtually for the last 2 years, and now we're back at Power and Light. So we actually went down a couple weeks ago and did our food tasting. There's always great food there from several of the restaurants there in the KC Live block. And it is a, not only is it a great time, but it makes a tremendous difference in what we're able to offer. Our goal is to raise $500,000 with that event, so $500,000, which goes straight to these programs that Dr. Iman has been talking about. And so, our goal is always, how do we, number one, what's the right thing to do for our patients and families, and how do we make that happen? And it's through our fundraising, through this event, that we're able to do that.
So how do you raise $500,000? First of all, number one, number two, and then how are those dollars utilized locally for so many, to help so many in our community?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Actually, in total for the organization, we raise about $3 million. So this is just a portion of the dollars that we raise.
Yeah.
And Sunday Night Live is a, we'll be holding it on October 2nd. It's a Sunday, of course, which it is every year. And people can come, and we have games in the event. We have raffle packages. We have some silent auction. And this year, we're going to do a couple of live auction items, which we haven't done before. So I'm kind of excited about that. We have tremendous donors in the community. So we have actually 11 trips that were donated to us that are part of those prize packages for people to either purchase a raffle for or to be part of our silent auction. We have some beautiful earrings. They're worth, $3,500, these gorgeous diamond earrings. We have our foodie package, which is always, a bunch of gift cards that to area restaurants that have been donated to us, just tremendous gifts that our planning committee goes out. They pound the pavement for nearly a year ahead, so they've been working on this for a very long time.
Yeah.
And then we have our tremendous sponsors that help us, and they contribute the dollars because they, you know, they're good partners to us and they want to be a part of this mission and this effort. And then, of course, the people that attend the event. So tickets are on sale right now. You can actually go to kchospice.org/SNL for Sunday Night Live and purchase tickets, or actually purchase a raffle ticket to participate. So even if you're not able to come out that night, you can still support us by purchasing a ticket and maybe winning a really fantastic prize.
I buy the raffle tickets every year. So,
yes, I do too. I actually won my very first year when I started. Yeah. We had the event about 2 weeks after I started, and I won the foodie package.
I'll be darned.
Which was fantastic. I got to try a lot of new restaurants.
Cool. So. Mm-hmm. That is really cool. And let's see. I think one time one of the travel packages was to Jamaica, I think, or some place with palm trees. Mm-hmm.
Probably Puerto Vallarta.
That was definitely one of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the crystal blue water and the umbrella drinks, the whole thing. So sure. Sign me up.
Absolutely. That's one of our most popular ones.
Yeah. That was good. And I think one of them was a trip to Chicago to see the Windy City. Just all this stuff. Just really, really nice packages. Well done to the team for working, for a whole year to kind of put this whole thing together. So.
Thank you. And our volunteers are just incredible. We're always happy to, to work with them because they're passionate and they're dedicated and they do a lot of hard work for us.
All right. So if you are interested in contributing to this, this signature fundraising event for KC Hospice, just go online like I do every year, kchospice.org/SNL stands for Sunday Night Live. And the dollars, did they stay in town and how are the dollars used?
Yeah, that's a great question. The dollars are 100% stay here in Kansas City. So all of our fundraising dollars do. We're a local organization. All of our employees and our board are local to Kansas City. And so those dollars stay right here to support our own friends and neighbors in the community that need that assistance. And so that's the same thing with this event. Those dollars go toward the services right here locally.
Karen and Dr. Iman, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it and looking forward to Sunday Night Live. That's going to be a phenomenal event.
Thank you. We're very excited.
All right. And thanks again to Karen Honholt and Dr. Iman, again from Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And you talk about a phenomenal organization. So they raise hundreds of thousands of dollars at this upcoming event. Again, Sunday Night Live. It's really quite an event. It's so well done. But I would encourage you, if you've been touched by the stories and by the support, I would encourage you to reach out and volunteer with the organization, donate to the organization. Every penny stays in our city and in the extended area. And let me say this. Kansas City Hospice does not turn away any patients. They provide close to $600,000 of unreimbursed services for people who cannot pay. Okay, so this is a huge, huge, huge deal. It's an ideal opportunity to support a gem, an absolute gem of a group and an organization here in town, kchospice.org/SNL, or you could call 816-363-2600. I'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. All right. So last week, I talked about the cost of assisted living. I also talked about the cost of independent living. And I didn't get too much into, entrance fee versus rental only on that independent living side of things. I touched on that a little bit. talked about some of the costs. There are a couple of other levels that I'll talk about right before we get to long-term care. But I think it's worth noting. So I talked about assisted living last week is averaging $5,000 to $8,000. I talked about most of the pricing models it's a base cost plus a level of care charge. So if you need a little bit of help, you're going to be paying less than someone needing a lot of help. Okay. And the other variable that would impact that $5,000 to $8,000 would be the size of the apartment. Obviously, a studio is less than one bedroom, is less than a two bedroom. So you have the size of the apartment and the level of care, and that those are the main two drivers of that pretty large variance there between $5,000 and $8,000. But that's going to cover the majority of them. So what if you have a residential care facility, RCF? I like to generally describe that as assisted living light. Typically, the residents at a residential care community will be a little more independent. They need a little less care and support, so you're going to also pay a little bit less. What I've seen in RCFs, somewhere between about $3,500 on the low end, upwards to maybe $5,500, $6,000, right in there. That's the average cost range for an RCF. And then we have a special designation here in our neighborhood. It's called Home Plus. And essentially, it's the assisted living level of care delivered to a small number of individuals living literally in a house. So this Home Plus concept started on the coasts, and then, as with everything, it takes about 5 to 10 years to make its way to the center of the country. And of course, we've had Home Plus here for quite a while, but it's very, very routine as far as being available on the coasts. Still relatively new here, I'd say about 10, 12 years. But that Home Plus level of care, it's a small number of residents, and they enjoy a home-like setting. I mean, you're in a house, so they've got that covered. You have your own bedroom, and then you have the common areas, the living room and the kitchens, et cetera, et cetera. But the cost at a Home Plus level of care is going to be $6,500 to about $8,500 a month, and that is the range for Home Plus. Now, at the long-term care level, again, this is also commonly known as a nursing home. This is the highest level of care. This is a medical model, and again, where they do everything that assisted living can provide. So they can help with those ADLs or those activities of daily living, plus full medical care, wound care, catheter care, pain management, diabetic management with insulin injections. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Tube feeding, IV therapy, two-person transfer, et cetera. So this is the highest level of care, and this is the primary level of care that Medicaid will pay for. There are some exceptions. I won't get into that today, but our government will pay all day, every day for a nursing home level of care, assuming that you qualify. All right. And if you don't qualify, then obviously it's private pay until you do. So there are a couple of different options at a nursing home. All right. So first of all, the most common option available is what's referred to as a semi-private room or a shared room. Okay, so that means that you're in a small room and you have a roommate. Not ideal. Okay, but always remember that nursing home level of care, that's the most restrictive level of care. It's not much about your personal space, and it's mostly about the care and the support that you receive. So that room is really not to be used. It's not intended to be used as an apartment where you can hang out there all day, and you can stay in your room all day if you want to. But the intention is that that room is really more of a bedroom where you take a nap during the daytime, and obviously you would sleep there overnight. And then during the day, again, the intention, ideally, you're out of your room and you're out utilizing other parts of the building, other parts of the community. You're going to meaningful activities. and you're going to and from dining three times a day, et cetera, et cetera. So you're going down to take your shower and all of these sort of things. So so a shared room, and again, I said this last week, don't wreck your car, don't swerve, don't choke on your coffee. a shared room is going to be somewhere between $7,000 to $9,000 per month. That is going to be the cost. And some people are like, for a shared room and I have a roommate? That is the cost. Now, in smaller, more rural or maybe smaller towns out in the country a little bit, might be a little bit less than that or on the lower end of that. If we're in a major metropolitan area, it could definitely be higher than that. Okay, I'm just giving you kind of an average, like $7,000 to $9,000 should cover most places. Now, if you want a private room in long-term care, also known as a nursing home, this is when it gets super, super pricey. A private room in a nursing home is going to be anywhere from $9,500 to about $15,000 per month. Now, I heard someone all the way across the country just choke on their coffee. They're like, what was that? Right? Yeah, that's right. About $9,500 to about $15,000 a month. And just remember, it's the most restrictive level of care. Again, what you're paying for, it's not about your personal space. You have very little personal space, and it's mostly about the care and the support that you're paying for. So the biggest private room in long-term care still isn't very big. It would be the size of what would consider would be a really small studio apartment. Okay, but at least it's your own private room. So, you know, you might have long-term care insurance, or you may be very fortunate you've invested well and that you're able to afford that. I mean, that's fantastic. But if there's a chance that you might outlive your assets and you're looking at long-term care communities, you're looking at nursing homes, okay, if you think there's a chance that you might outlive your assets, you need to make sure and do not assume anything. Make sure that nursing home is Medicaid certified. You need to have a discussion about that. Now, with Senior Care Consulting, we take care of all that for you. We don't let you make a mistake like that, right? But most people do this on their own. And so just make sure that you have your bases covered, because the last thing you want to do is have to move when you're out of money into another community. So just cover your bases on that. All right. I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.